We'll talk about it another time. Right now, we need to talk about something very important.
Oregon PERS is in a crisis. And the question asked is this. What is the PERS crisis? People are throwing around names and numbers and things and whatnot. Well, Dan Lucas, our old pal Dan from the Oregon Catalyst, is on the phone with me. Hey, Dan.
How you doing, Bill?
Doing good. All right. Once again, you've written a story that's a wonderful story. I read it three times, and I still don't know what you're talking about. It's too much math. What?
No, it is. The whole PERS thing is terribly complicated.
It is.
And so what I tried to do, this is actually a three-part series, and I'm writing it for the Hillsborough Argus, which is part of the Oregonian.
Right.
And then I rerun the stories in Oregon Catalyst. But what I wanted to do was just in a series of three fairly short articles describe, you know, what's the PERS crisis, what caused it, and then what can we do to fix it.
All right, so why don't you do the simple explanation for people like me, dummies for PERS, or whatever you call it, or PERS for dummies. Yeah.
And I think we're all dummies for PERS, Bill, because it's actually, I mean, the more you get into it, the more, I'd rather take high school algebra again.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, so what I try to do is I try to leave out all the discussion of the, tier one money match and all that, and just kind of put it at a high level, because most people, we're not going to be asked to get in there and deal with that level of details. We just, as voters, we need to know, okay, what kind of candidate should we be looking for? What kind of things should we put pressure on our representatives to do about this? So
sure.
Just at a real high level, primarily most recently caused by the 2008 stock market crash, the Oregon PERS is going to have to pay out in pension benefits $16 billion more than they're going to have. So, I mean, when you talk about $16 billion, you're talking up about the kind of money that Bill Post makes in 1 year.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they call that an unfunded liability. It's money they don't have,
yeah.
And so they have to get the money from somewhere. So PERS has two options on where they get their money. One is they can charge the employers more, and in the employers are all the different government agencies in Oregon, so state, county, city, school districts. So they either have to charge all the different government employers more money to make up for that $16 billion, or they have to make more money on their, they have like $55 billion in holdings, probably mostly in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
The PERS board is saying they absolutely do not see that happening through the stock market in the foreseeable future. So they have to raise the rate to the employers. Well, the employers all get their money from taxpayers like us.
Yeah.
So this most recent increase that's going to go into effect next summer is they're going to have to, this is just an increase. This isn't what they're already paying. This is an increase over what they were already paying. And it's going to be around $1 billion for all the different state, county, K through 12 government employers across the state. A $1 billion increase.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did is, this is for the Hillsborough Argus, so I just used the Hillsborough School District as an example, and I pointed out that it's a double whammy for K through 12 because each of those, like Salem Kaiser School District is going to have to get hit with a PERS increase just for their budget.
Mm-hmm.
But then also they get a big part of their budget from the state the state school fund, which is around $5.8 billion each budget. And because the state budget also pays for state employees, state workers, and then university system workers, that's going to cost the state about $130 million more just for a PERS increase for state workers and university system workers. So K through 12 gets a double whammy. They get a direct hit to their local school district, mm-hmm. but the amount of the K through 12 fund that they get from the state is also going to be affected because the state's going to have less money because they have to pay a PERS increase.
All right. I think I'm understanding. So you got a big bowl. That's the state.
Yes.
You're taking from the big bowl. All right.
Yep.
At the same time, the little bowl inside, which would be all the different school districts, their bowl is being emptied as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Because so the like Salem-Keizer School District directly from PERS, they're going to get a, they're going to get an increase. And then they go to the state, they're going to say, hey, can you give us our state school fund money? The state's going to say, well, I got to take a little bit out because I got to pay PERS increase for state workers and university system workers. So for Hillsborough, their direct impact next year is going to be the equivalent of 70 teachers.
70 teachers.
Just for the PERS increase.
Wow.
So they're projecting in their budget, they talked about currently they're paying 18.5% of their payroll for PERS, and next year they're looking at that jumping to 24.5% of their payroll.
Wow.
And that's the equivalent of 70 teachers. So that if you know, to absorb that, they've got a couple different options, but it's the equivalent of 70 teachers. If they can't do any of the other things, you know, find some other savings or whatever, or raise taxes, whatever, they're going to have to lay off 70 more teachers just to handle the PERS increases just for the Hillsborough School District.
And if the
state cuts their, the amount of, you know, if those cuts are applied evenly for the state, that it would also be another 14 teachers for Hillsborough that they would lose because they'd get that much less money from the state. So a total of 84 teachers for a school district like Hillsborough, just for the increases in PERS.
That's incredible. 84 teachers in order to pay for the retirement of, what, the teachers that are left? And I know. I'm going to the small bowl first, to pay retirement for the teachers that are left and the teachers who are currently retired.
Right.
And then the bigger bowl.
And I'll talk about this in part two, but most, like 90% of this unfunded liability, 90% of the $16 billion is for what they call Tier 1 employees.
Right.
And if it weren't for that, PERS would be in pretty good shape.
It's Tier 1 is, explain quickly what Tier 1 is involves the vast majority at this point, right?
Yes, of the ones who are actually retired, and there's still more to come that are going to retire, but they actually... they're the ones that got the guaranteed 8% return, and so when the stock market doesn't make that, well, then the taxpayers basically have to make up for that. And then they had lots of other things where they could do to make their retirement, you know, they could count their unpaid sick leave and other things as salary in their final year. They did lots of things to really jack up their pensions. And so, and I'll talk about that in part two, but yeah, so they got very, very sweet pensions.
Yeah,
and the problem is there isn't the money to pay for that.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Dan. Dan Luke is with us. I don't think there's anybody listening. Maybe there are somebody that's really hard-hearted, but I don't think there's anybody listening that doesn't say, "Look, if you know, you got hired for this job, and as part of the job, you were told you were going to get this when you retired." And I don't think anybody wants to say, "Oh, sorry, never mind, you can't have it," because you know that's breaking a promise. On the other hand, I know of people who are making more money now than they did when they were working in their retirement.
Right. And like you said, those people, that was a factor in them just, you know, because maybe they could have left and gone and gotten a job at Intel and made a lot more money, but they said, you know what, because of this pension, it's worth it for me to stay here and work for,
exactly.
You know, the Department of Education, whatever. And so it's not fair to go back and retroactively change that. And, in fact, the courts have said that. But there are, and I'll talk about this in part three, there are still things that can be done to help eliminate that unfunded liability and do it in a more fair way than, you know, like for people like me and you and whoever else, we're not on PERS. And when the stock market went down in 2008, you know, some people lost their jobs and had to sell their IRAs and all that, or their 401Ks became a 201K. They lost so much value. And so it's not fair to ask those people to make up for that unfunded liability. It's like, well, wait a minute, so I get hit twice by this economic downturn so that you don't have to get hit at all?
Yeah, that's where it gets a little crazy. I think of people, I know a lot of retired people who aren't public employees, who are living off of their retirement accounts, let's say, and they took major hits over the last 3 to 5 years. And they've had to cut way, way, way back in their lifestyles and everything. In fact, some probably have had to come back into the job market. In fact, I know of people. And yet we're saying to, as you said, to these people, well, we're still going to pay yours, though.
Right. And again, all of the original things that have to be honored still have to be honored.
Yeah.
But within that, there are things that can be done, and they're not my ideas. These are ideas that, like, came out in Governor Kulongowski's Reset Cabinet Report and other places, and what I'll talk about in Part 3, where there are some common sense solutions that can be taken care of, and I think that's the way to go. But it's going to take some political will that so far our politicians, and most notably our current governor, has not shown that they've got the political will to tackle this.
All right. So once again, Dan Lucas, writing for OregonCatalyst.com. So Part 1 came out today. It's entitled, What is the PERS Crisis? Part 2 will come out when?
Part 2 will come out in the Hillsborough Argus this Friday. It might come out online, might come out late Thursday. You know, that's Oregon Live, Hillsborough Argus.
All right.
And then I'll put it up on Catalyst a week from today.
All right. And then
Part 3 will be a week after that.
All right. And Part 2 is called What's Causing the PERS Crisis? And Part 3 is How Do We Solve the PERS Crisis? Well, we will look forward to Part 2 and Part 3 and seeing what you come up with on this stuff, Dan.
Awesome. Hey, and Bill, if you have any inns with the dog bark, that place that advertised earlier, I would definitely love them to open a place in Beaverton.
Okay. If they're listening, there you go.
We have one heavily amped up canine that needs lots of more exercise than we have energy.
Oh. All right. Well, we'll see if we can arrange something.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you, Dan Lucas.
Thank you, Bill.
Take care. Go to OregonCatalyst.com, OregonCatalyst.com, to read that article in full. It's also at OregonLive.com/Hillsborough Argus, and you'll find the story there.